Pastor Bill is not here, obviously. And do you realize what a treasure we have in Pastor Bill, somebody that cares about people? And that's what he is. All my life, I've never had a pastor that cares as much about as Bill does. Okay, because we are such a growing body, you know, we get new people here all the time. I'm going today to examine, or it'd be good today to examine who we are and what we believe as evangelical Protestants. But first, a commercial break. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On Thursday, we will celebrate another birthday of these United States and give thanks for the freedoms we now enjoy. Here in Delta County, there will be patriotic music entitled, "Your Grand Old Flag." Our own Nick and Judy Greer and John Shriver are in the choir. I'm sure you won't want to miss it. Performances will be held at four different churches. Tonight, Sunday at 6 o'clock, we'll be at the North Fork Baptist Church in Peonia. Tomorrow or Monday at 7 o'clock at the Austin Baptist Church. Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Saddle Mountain Fellowship in Crawford. And Wednesday, July 3rd, 7 o'clock at the Cedar Ridge Methodist Church. So that's the closest one. My favorite song is called "The Statue of Liberty." It starts out about the statue in New York Harbor, but soon it switches to the cross. All who kneel there will live forever. Where is the hope? There's the hope. You'll come up and help me? I can use it. Enough for the commercial. Where is the hope? Last week, Adam talked to us about joy. Today, we'll think about where our hope is and how that hope brings us joy. I might say that I've had a long time to think about what I'm going to say today. In 1950, that's 63 years ago, I was at a church camp. One day after lunch, they had us reading our Bibles. And I was sitting under a tree reading when something happened to me. Don't know what it was, but something happened. I knew for sure that Jesus is my Savior, and He has been part of my life ever since. Enough for my testimony. Let's think about our worldview. You know, everybody has a worldview. Common thoughts to all people can include such questions as, who or what is God? Who am I? Or why am I here? How do I know right from wrong? When I die, what happens to me? How can I know the truth? That Eric's got that PowerPoint down really good, hasn't he? Thank you, Eric. Another very theological question from my granddaughter, Lauren. Why did God make ticks and mosquitoes? Okay, the answers to these kinds of questions form your worldview. You get the idea. Now let's restrict our thinking to an authentic Christian worldview. An authentic Christian is a person who has placed his trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. How hard is it to become a Christian? Our daughter Julie and her husband Kevin were here 2 weeks ago, and Julie has a son, Braden. When Braden was 3 years old, Donna was driving him in the car. And Braden asked Donna, "How do you get Jesus into your heart?" Donna simply replied, Just ask him. Braden rolled down the car window, looked at the sky, and said, "Jesus, come into my heart." Then he turned to Donna and said, "We have to go to church and tell the pastor that I have Jesus in my heart." Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's Mark 10:15. Getting hot in here. Being a Christian is a personal matter. Personal matter. The real issue is personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some big words. Being justified by faith through the redemption that is through the blood of Christ. You may be familiar with Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Verse 24 says we are justified freely by his grace. We're justified just as I've never sinned. My record is clean. I'm justified. God the Father and I are at peace. How much does this cost me? Nothing. It's all a free gift of God's grace. And how does this happen? Well, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Redeemed, that means to be bought back. We have been delivered from a life of sin and death to an eternal life in the presence of our holy God. Now that's a worldview. That's a world. Where's the hope? That's the hope. Does that bring joy to your heart? Okay, now let's go a little deeper. Look at me. Look at me. No. Look with me. Oh, I got to read that. Hard to read. At three pillars of our Christian faith. And learn a little Latin along the way. One. Sola Scriptura. Only the Scriptures. Your Bible, not the institutional church, is the primary authority for you to live and to judge truth and error. Okay? Sola Gratia. Only by grace. Salvation is only by grace. It's the free and unmerited gift of God. And sola fides, only by faith. The gift of salvation and the benefits of being in God's eternal family come through personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, not by any personal good works, not by the merits of a human mediator, not by religious ceremonies or institutional efforts. I first learned of these three concepts about 10 years ago as we prepared to join this church. We had a membership booklet that's now out of date that included these ideas. What's in here? Make noise. This year I've been reading this book, What's the Difference? By Fritz Ridenour. He presented these same thoughts as contrasted with the Roman Catholic Church. The idea of sola scriptura was important at the time of the Protestant Reformation. That'd be 1500 Martin Luther thing. The church at that time had developed many practices and traditions that were not found in the Bible. Martin Luther and others were actually protesting against practices that were not biblical. Sola Scriptura means the Bible alone is all we need for our spiritual authority. Let's look in this box for some authority. This is the Bible that I used when I was in high school. It's a red letter edition, if you know what that means. Words of Jesus are in lead. Read, and I used to love to read the words of Jesus. That was authority for me in my high school years. Other religions use other books as their sources of authorities. As evangelical Christians, we do not accept such books as the Quran, Book of Mormon, you know, things like that. Only Scripture. And sola gratis, or grace alone, is also important to us as Protestants. We rally around Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You've heard this many times. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. Not by works, that no one can boast. That's grace. Amazing grace, if you will. A gift from God. If we could work hard enough or be good enough to earn it, it wouldn't be grace. Please include verse 10 when you think about grace. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So it doesn't get you off the hook that you're just saved by grace. You still got to do something, but grace comes first. And sola fide, or faith, goes along with Ephesians 2. We're saved by grace through faith, not works. The idea of working to achieve our salvation is not biblical. The church, with its rituals and sacraments, cannot save you. Yes, it can help you grow in wisdom and knowledge. It can pray for and with you. It can help you worship. But your salvation is an individual matter between you and God. Grace through faith. These are the building blocks of our faith. This is where our hope is found. God's word and God's grace. Think I got an airplane in here? This is Max Lucado's Bible. And the neat thing about that is, alongside each one, he's got stories of his own that he likes, that he put in there, and he and some other authors like Chuck Swindoll and other well-known people. So as you read a page of the Bible, you also get some stories that kind of go along. It's kind of neat. When we lived in Illinois, Don and I were busy because we were running the business. You know how that is, Mr. Folsom. And the time that we could find to share in the Bible was at night before we went to sleep. So that used to be on our bedside, headboard of the bed. And we would read some of that every night. That was neat. Authority. Okay. Another building block of our faith is the concept of Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, put a few adjectives there, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our helper. Not any news to you, is it? Okay? They all have different personalities. They have different job descriptions, if you will. But at the same time, they're all one God. I just love in Deuteronomy, they call it the Shema. Deuteronomy 6:4. And what does that say? The Lord our God. The Lord is one. And it goes on. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. That's your response. It says, hear, O Israel, listen up. We got one God. Love him with everything you have, your soul, your heart, your strength. So, the idea of a Trinity in one God. A little more. Let's go to Matthew when Jesus was baptized. You're familiar with the story? In chapter 3 of Matthew. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. So now you got two. You got Jesus incarnate as a man. You got the Spirit as a dove. And a voice from heaven says, well, guess who's speaking? This is my Son, whom I love. And with him I am well pleased. Well, there's the Trinity. Oh, here's a green Bible. This is a Scofield NIV, red letter, indexed. This sits on our couch in the living room, on the arm of the couch all the time, except when it's here. And every morning, Donna and I do our daily bread, which our church supplies, and use that Bible. Authority. Okay? I'm not done with the Trinity. Matthew ends his gospel with the Great Commission, which is, I have been given all authority. I'm the boss. And it says, go out, preach, teach, baptize in the name of. It's not up there, you have to know. Teach, preach, and baptize in whose name? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew's got a pretty good understanding of what the Trinity really involves, doesn't he? And so do we. Okay. Can we fully understand this idea of God in three persons? Well, we worked on it a little bit for a few minutes. Yes and no. We do understand the idea of a loving Father, of a Creator God, of a God who listens to prayer. We can understand that. A God who answers prayer, a God who has spoken to men, both verbally and through His written word. We understand God coming to earth as a man to teach us, heal us, and die for us. Your God's, should I say, pretty smart or creative? Well, if Jesus came to earth as a man, then we think, well, here comes God to earth. But he really wouldn't have any manhood to him because he came as he's already there. And if Jesus was born of two earthly parents, then he said, well, he's not really divine because he's earthly. So God figured that out. He gave him one earthly parent and gave him the Holy Spirit. And now he's both fully God and fully man. Isn't that neat? Now I've lost my place. Okay. We can understand the forgiveness of our sins because the blood sacrifice was God himself. Jesus, even though he looked like a man, was God himself. We understand that we who are believers have a helper living within us. That's the Holy Spirit. Should we expect that in our human experience we should know all of the complexities of our triune God in one? Well, God's thinking on a higher plane. Oh, there's Adam again. He had to be here last week. God's thinking is on a higher plane than man's thinking. Look at here. Now this needs help. This is a Bible that I was teaching a thing called Bethel Bible Series, and this is not indexed. I had to write down on the edge here where all the books were so I could kind of find them. I need a lot of help. Anyway, I used this back in the 80s to teach a Bible course. More part of my testimony is what this is. Okay? Okay. We have looked at how a Christian views the world from a godly perspective. Okay? Then we looked at some building blocks of Protestant theology. A couple big words, but that's what we're doing. Now let's look at this part of the body of Christ called, what do we call this place? This audience participation. This is New Hope. This part of the body which is called? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, we know where we are. Okay. When you walk in the doors of this church, you notice some writings on the wall. You know what's out there? Okay? You know how they got there? Thank you, Mary Key. Where are you? Ah, there you are. Okay. Don't get ready to be embarrassed. A lot of times I would come in when the building was almost done and Mary's got her paints and brushes and stepladder and mutter. I got a taste of it. But it's really beautiful. Thank you, Mary. The first thing I want to talk about is our motto. It's actually on the bottom. But our motto for this church is reflecting Christ and making Him known. I think there's only two gentlemen that still come to this church that know how that got there. That'd be Mr. Chin and Mr. King. Is that correct? You like to tell us how you selected that? I have no idea. Well, I do too. Thank you. I do think it's very appropriate. Reflecting Christ. I mean, you know the story of your life that some days you'll meet somebody that's the only Christ that person will ever see is how you act, how you feel. Can you reflect Christ? We do reflect Christ, whether we like to or not. So, and make Him known. So that's our motto. Here at New Hope, we intend to keep Christ at the center of our worship. We want to learn about Him and to grow more, to be more like Him. The result of our relationship should be that other people can see Christ-like qualities in us. So how do the people of Cedar Ridge or Delta County look at, it says us, I guess I could say, how do they look at me? How do they look at you? And the other things that are on the wall there, we call our core values. And first, on top, is the centrality of God's Word. We believe this is God's Word. And pick up any one of these Bibles, because they all say about the same thing. This is His love letter to you. God cannot lie, therefore it's true. He meant what He said, and He said what He meant. A long time ago in a land far away, it's story time, Don and I were in a Bible class along with our pastor. She said, in effect that she had schooling in the history of the Bible, and she knew how many hands it had been through. Because of her special knowledge, she was certain that it is not all true. Thank you, Pastor Bill. At that time, I had been a believer and reading my Bible for more than 40 years. I showed you some of them. And after more than 50 years of going to that church, Donna and I decided it was time to leave. It was the hardest thing we'd ever done. In visiting other churches, one pastor in a sermon picked up his Bible and said, "This is the Word of God, and I will vigorously defend it." It's a word to use, vigorously. We joined that church. And that's how we became members of an evangelical free church. How God's Word is treated is a big deal to me. I hope it is to you. Here at New Hope, Pastor Bill and the elders treat the Word of God with respect and care. How many words do you think I got? Now, this old sucker here, this is also a NIV, Scofield, red letter. I got this in 1993, and I was using this when I was teaching the Disciple Bible Study, but I still use it when I teach today, but because the cover is in such bad shape, I don't use it at home on a regular basis. Okay. Authority. Second is fervent prayer. Pastor Bill says, oh, you're on. Okay, thank you. Do you notice the different men and how they pray during prayer and praise time? I mean, we had a good example today, didn't we? Thank you, Bill. You know, Dave LeMaster gets up here, and he's usually on the first Sunday, and second Sunday, Ron gets up. Third Sunday, Jim Rainey gets up. Each man is different, but each man is sincere. Excuse me. Oh, it says here, each man is different. I couldn't spell unique. Okay. How does the word fervent, that's an interesting, how does fervent apply to these men when they pray? Fervent prayer. You know, each man pours out his heart to God. How does the word fervent apply in your prayer life? Are you honest with your Father? Do you tell him how you feel? Are you compassionate toward other people? Are you praying for your unsaved family and friends, for the people of the world? Fervent, serious, personal prayer. Your Father, you know, Jesus called him Abba Daddy. I was just reading in Max Lucado's The Great House of God this morning that nowhere in Scripture, in the Jewish manuscripts, is the word Abba Daddy used when addressing God. Abba Father was a common word used in the language, but a time would never dare to address Jehovah as Abba. Jesus, in his first recorded words, you know, he was a little boy, 12 years old, in the temple. And mom and dad were pretty mad because they couldn't find him. Where were you? I had to be in my Father's house. There's the first time in the Bible the word Abba appears. And he used that consistently throughout his ministry. And he ended with, Father, into my hands, to your hands I commit my spirit. I use it again. Only on the cross when he said, why have you forsaken me, did he not use the word Father. Through his whole life he addressed his God, his Father. Even though he's equal with him, he addressed him as Abba Daddy. We have that privilege. It says your Father wants to be close to you, to have a family relationship with you. If you have kids, do you talk to them? If you have kids, do you want to know what's going on in their lives and when they talk to you? Prayer isn't any different. Okay, third, relevant worship. Playing with your minds here, I want to make the cross predominant. Relevant worship. Is this relevant? Revelation 5, 11 to 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's a big number. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is neat. We find this idea of every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth worshiping in Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Glory. Giving God glory is worship. Worship here at New Hope is centered on God. On God the Father, on Christ our Lord, and our helper, the Holy Spirit. If you remember in January, we sang a song, "Holy Spirit, come and fill this house." The Holy Spirit's been here the whole time. It's true that the Holy Spirit fills not only this place, but also the hearts of all believers here today. And of course, all believers everywhere. Okay, the fourth core value is intentional disciple making. In Jesus' time, to be a disciple of a rabbi was to sit at his feet and learn from him, then to follow the rabbi and his teachings. So being a disciple means really two things, to learn and to follow. New Hope's mission is to make you a follower of Christ, to equip you with a knowledge and passion for the Scriptures, to instill in you the love of Christ to the point that you have to share the good news with someone you know, or maybe a stranger. Good news. What is the good news? Jesus loves me, this I know. What else you want? Christ the Lord is risen today. Okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Is that good news? Wow. You know more about good news than you think. Just listen to the music that you sing, or that we present to you, or the gospel, or the messages. Just listen. Be a follower. Be a learner. Be a disciple of Christ. Read your Bible. Attend a Bible study. Come to Sunday school. Listen to and learn from Pastor Bill's teachings. This is a neat little story. Donna has been taking Lauren. I'm talking about you now, Lauren. She's been taking her to community Bible study in Montrose since Lauren was a little baby. Their program there, they have for toddlers and preschoolers, they would teach the Bible verses and put them on different shapes of paper. Those pieces of paper are still in our refrigerator. Now, Lauren could recite them before she could read because she recognized the shapes. That's one way to make a disciple. Go and be a disciple. Lastly, on our core value list is ministry to others. I'm waiting for Eric. Not there. Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. The second is like it, love other people. If you care about other people, how do you get involved in their lives? Does someone need a friend? Are there chores that you can do for someone that can't do for themselves? Do you use your resources, time, energy, money, only for your own benefit? Or are you helping to build God's kingdom? Take a look at your day timer or calendar. Take a look at your checkbook to see what's important in your life. My wife Donna has involved many of you in the local food bank. That's really a nice, wonderful ministry to other people because it does help quite a few people. And I won't belabor the point, but those of you who have been to the food bank know a little bit of that. So that's really a good place to be in ministry to others. Okay? Where have we been? Worldview. How do we Christians see the world? We've been to sola scriptura, only you and your Bible. Sola gratia, only by God's grace. And sola fides, only by faith are we saved. We talked about how other people view us when we reflect Christ and our core values. Next time you come in, take a little time to read them. I found a little prayer in a book that I'll use as a benediction. You got that for me, Eric? Today has been about hope and joy. Hope and joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Have you got the Apostles' Creed for me? Thank you. Put it up, please. Sometimes we read this, and I might just say a few things about it. And about the time I get through with this, the worship team needs to come up. So, anytime. I believe in God the Father Almighty. That a statement of faith? Okay. Can you put more of it up, Eric? There we go. And we talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about the things that are important to us, that He did not have an earthly father, that the Holy Ghost was His father, that He was born of a woman here on earth, that He lived a life, mentions how He was died and buried, mentions that He goes to heaven and now He's with God. And from there, He shall come. That means He's going to come back. Some more, Eric. Okay, I believe in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. You see, Catholic there has a small c. Catholic means universal. It doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church. It includes the Roman Catholic Church, but doesn't mean that. The communion of saints. Are we here today communing? Are you a saint?
Not quite.
No, you are. Just get over it. You are. I agree with you, but Scripture says different. The resurrection of the body. And we talked about that in Sunday school, didn't we? Yeah, we're all going to have new bodies. And life everlasting. As we believe in our Lord Jesus, we will have everlasting. Put it back from the beginning, Eric, and read it together. You can do that. Would you repeat that with me, please? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Savior, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing our last song?
At the